Alright, time for another DriftPhysics.com video presentation. So, I have a video clip of the different air track experiments where a one-mass cart is banged into a two-mass cart elastically, in the sense that they don't stick together. And the consequences, the argument is that the kinetic energy formula mandates essentially that you end up creating a bunch of extra energy. You end up with 130 momentums going one way and 30 going the other way. And people wish to argue that somehow the 30 this way undoes the extra 30 that way. And so you're down to 100, which you started with. And sorry, no sale. Would be my simplest argument that energy can be understood as pressure, it can be understood as heat, and you just can't fight heat with heat. It only works in very closed systems where you're banging off the inside of an object. So you can't do it in the real universe. You can't expose the universe to 130 this way and 30 that way and think the universe didn't count, you know, the two extra 30s. It did count them. It knows their masses moving. It counts them all. Every single atom moving gets counted by the universe. It doesn't understand the concept of negative energy. So anyway, so we have one example, Professor Lewin's video, demonstrating the validity of a kinetic energy derivative formula. And I would argue that it will never be successfully accomplished because it's a free energy experiment, and we all can know, even knew pretty certain, you know, with quite a lot of certainty, you know, Galileo, Descartes, and Newton all said you're not going to make free energy. So he holds up the two-mass cart. All right, and then he pulls out the special clay-enabled one-mass cart. You know, coming soon. There we go. Yes, there it is. It's a little blob of clay there in the middle. You can't really see it in this picture, but a little blob of clay on it. And we can notice when you see the close-up, there's a tape measure that runs across the air track. And they have the tape measure obviously turned upside down. So the time will be on the first clock for the cart going in, and then the red cart in the middle, and the last one will be the time of the cart going back, blah, 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 blah. And all that's really important is to recognize that two-thirds of the velocity of the one cart will end up going into the two cart, and that means it has more momentum, which just can't make any sense, frankly. It's just not possible. Every other circumstance of these kind of interactions, the two-mass cart has to leave at half the speed. This is essentially what he's essentially doing here, is saying, look, I can compress a spring with the one-mass cart, and I can shoot the two-mass cart with 130 momentum. So if it was 100 momentums I'm getting out of the little cart, I can get 130, you know, 100 going in, and I can get 130 out of the spring. No spring will do that. It's an impossible experiment. I really shouldn't have to keep making this argument to rational people. It's really, there's no reason I should have to keep doing this. So you could clearly see the blob of clay. I guess I should have pointed it out in the close-up, but anyway. So there's the experiment. The times will, yeah, I think I fixed that by raising it a little. There we go. And so you have 123. So the lower the number, the faster the speed. So you have 123 going in. Now half the speed would be 246. And obviously 186 is not 246. It's a lot faster than that. So it should be 246 here if it was half the speed. That's what every other experiment's going to show, by the way, is something less than half the speed, a number higher than twice as slow. Okay, not a number lower. So just remember, the numbers are inverted. You know, big number, slow speed, small number, fast speed. And then the cart going back is obviously substantially slower, okay, more than a third of the initial speed going in. Well, it's exactly a third, frankly. So you have essentially 130 momentums going this way and 30 going that way, and you went in with, say, 100. That's the proportion, the relationship. Free energy, easy to make the machine. It really can't be the truth. I really shouldn't have to argue this. Okay, so now this is the same lecture. Professor Lewin now is doing inelastic collisions, ones that where the cart's supposed to stick. And so we just did the obvious experiment where you crash the cart in and it leaves with one-third the speed? It's one-half the speed. That's twice the speed, so half the speed. So he banged one cart into a one-mass cart, ends up leaving as a two-mass cart, and it has exactly what you would expect, twice as slow. So it turned out exactly what you would expect, that the two-mass has to go half the speed. I mean, you could redo the experiment in lots of different ways, right? So he just took a one-mass cart, moves, combines into a two-mass cart. So now it's a two-mass cart, and now it leaves at half the speed. Proven fact right there. Now I could do the experiment by just having the one-mass cart moving, and I could drop a weight from a very short distance on top of it. And now it's a two-mass cart, and the same exact thing will happen. I could show you that experiment, but that one's been done dozens of times with ticker tapes, with all kind of different ways to measure the speed, but it always comes out half the speed. Okay, I reduce it by half. And the kinetic energy is destroyed. So let's understand, no kinetic energy is conserved, okay? The momentum is, but the kinetic energy isn't conserved. Somehow I lose half of the kinetic energy by dropping the speed in half. The same thing happens here. Half the kinetic energy is lost. All right, so we'll just get to the important part. All right, so he has a one mass into a two mass. No springs this time, so that's Velcro on here, and the Velcro doesn't stick, okay? So it's exactly the same experiment, except there's no springs. So instead of the cart going back in the opposite direction, because there is no elastic, part to the, there's no super elastic. That is, there's no storage of energy and a rebound. So there's no opportunity for a bounce in the opposite direction. And the little cart continues in the same direction at a reduced speed. So you can see that he holds them because they will move a little bit on the air track. Okay, they don't stay perfectly stationary. So let me just finish this. You can see that little extra bit of time. So the number here, if it was going to be half the speed, the number would be 222. Clearly, the number 275 is a lot slower, right? The bigger the number, the slower it's going. Clearly, the two-mass cart left going much slower than half. I mean, almost a quarter. So substantially slower, and the little cart, we didn't see the measurement, but you could see it was doing that little extra. So the part that this, the 50 that's over, the 50 on the 275, the extra 50 is essentially what the little cart has as momentum. So, if we were just to move these numbers around to balance them, that's where the extra velocity is, okay, that this was short of half. Half would have been a complete transfer. It didn't do half. It did less than half. It means the little cart still has whatever was left over, and it's still moving with that little bit left over. So completely different results. So just remember that the opposite thing happened in the first experiment. Instead of, he got a number of 111 here, and the comparable number in the first experiment would be 70, for this number. And you can see 275 is a lot bigger than 70, right? So instead of two-thirds of the momentum going into the red cart, less than a half went into it. Substantial difference for exactly the same fundamental experiment. And fundamentally exactly the same. The only thing different is springs versus little hard Velcro things. That's it. So, I mean, again, why should I have to argue? These two experiments are doing nothing like the same thing, and they're supposed to be doing something exactly the same thing. These two results should have been exactly the same, and they're not anywhere near the same. Exactly in the sense that the only difference is the cart going in the opposite direction. But the energies should have been the same, and they're nowhere near the same. All right. All right, so this is the Arbor Scientific video. Filmed at the wrong angle, lots of little things to complain about. We don't know the masses, okay? You can only speculate regarding what they did to the masses, okay? But it would appear that they put a substantial weight on one of the carts, perhaps, you know, and they'd usually balance the weights. They put one on each side, so you could assume this cart has been substantially weighed down to be twice as massive now. Don't know it for sure, but the numbers come out as if it would be. And clearly what you don't see is you don't see the second cart, the heavy cart, leaving with two-thirds. Nothing like that. Not more than half. It's always less than half. Half or less. So, leave us play the video. All right, so it had a couple of flaws. This cart, she let it go too soon. It did have a little momentum going in, but you can clearly see this cart is not zooming away at anything like two-thirds the speed. When I did the calculations, it came out within 5% of conservation of momentum. That is, it was less than half the speed, and this one was leaving substantially slower. So the number for this one would be like, the cart coming back was like 17, this cart was 10, and the original was 5. Those kind of numbers. All right, so on to the next. So it's not great evidence, but it's pretty darn good. You can read the scale pretty well. You know, like I said, the angle's a little screwed up, but it's pretty clear not consistent with Professor Lewin's first experiment, completely consistent with the second experiment except for the direction of the cart because of the spring. Okay, so the most recent experiment, which had, again, issues in the sense that nobody realized that she wasn't using flags to trigger the timer. She's using the actual length of the cart, so you have to counter that by recognizing that the time you get for the red cart will be twice as much time. It'll take it twice as much time to get through the gate. Therefore, you have to cut the time in half to keep it proportional to the size of the gold cart. But once you fix that, and yeah, that's about all you got to fix, really, and then you can understand what happened in this experiment, and the numbers come out again perfectly consistent with Arbor Scientific, perfectly consistent with Professor Lewin's second experiment, perfectly inconsistent with Professor Lewin's first experiment. So even though it's exactly Professor Lewin's first experiment, that is, we have springs, we will have a reversal in direction, the outcome is not consistent. The red cart will not leave at two-thirds the velocity. It will leave at less than half the velocity. Okay, I'll tell you what the numbers were. The numbers were the little cart is a little less than a 5. The red cart is a little more than a 10, maybe. And the cart going back, that is the gold cart heading back now, is somewhere around 25 to 30. Okay. Now, I mean, I did a video with all the numbers, and, you know, not even close. And if you use the actual times, that works out exactly the same. It's even more precise. It's even a less margin of error. So, again, a validation that, Professor, there's something radically wrong with the formula, the derivation of the kinetic energy formula that predicts the two-thirds velocity. Clearly not correct. Clearly the formula isn't correct. It doesn't predict the actual real world outcomes. And if it did, we'd all have free energy. Again, it's just, this was an argument about free energy
perpetual motion and free energy. This was exactly the argument made against the kinetic energy formula from the very beginning. The very first arguments were arguments against it because it creates free energy. And Leibniz, the originator of this, even said to people arguing for momentum that their theory was a free energy theory. If you believed in momentum, it was free energy. So clearly there was no compatibility between these two theories. Clearly, from the mv squared point of view, you have to see momentum as a free energy formula. And obviously, if you have any respect for momentum, you have to see kinetic energy as free energy. So 300 years, no resolution. You're just believing in a ghost. It's a fake, phony, a fraud. It never had any credible evidence supporting it. They changed it by 50% in the 1800s. They had answers that were 50% off. They would say it was 50 joules and it was really 100 joules. It was actually the reverse. They'd say it was 100 and now the new number was 50. A 50% error rate. And they say they proved it. For 100 years, they walked around saying we proved kinetic energy. And then they changed the number by 50%. I mean, there's no credibility to this. The fact that I have to argue this over and over and over again just proves how irrational the human race has become. All this technology, all this stuff, and you still just belligerently will not change your traditional notions. You will not let go of any meme, you know, any idea that your mommy gave you. It's all like they're tokens from mommy, and you can't possibly say they're garbage. All right, so you can see the numbers. I did the numbers. It works out just fine. Cut the 14 in half to 735, and then the 17 number is actually the correct number. And she's saying you cut it in half, but that's just, I mean, you cut out the first part of it, but you don't need to do any of that. All right, so this is another, I don't know what school this is. This might be college because this woman seems a little more professional, but I might be way off. I don't see anything silly on the walls, but it looks more like a high school, but who knows. Yeah, it's really not a, well, I don't know. I've never been in a college lab, so it's hard to say. So anyway, it's the only problem is we have the wrong mass ratios. Okay, so the cart that's going to come in is going to be 1/3, and the cart that has weights on it is 2/3. So is that the right way to say it? This cart is a 3 mass, the other cart's a 2 mass. I guess that would be the way to understand it. So it's going to be a 2 mass into a 3 mass. So it's not really the same experiment. And obviously you get results. And I'll just point out how you would expect these results because of the lack of a sufficient mass differential between the carts. I mean, it's getting closer to being the same mass hitting the same mass, if you get me. And so obviously it's more and more likely you're going to transfer more of the momentum as velocity. So, something happens here. There it is. That's moving pretty fast. It's a 2 mass, 200 gram cart hitting a 300 gram cart is what it comes down to. It's a little more than that, right? It's 220 and 320, you know, so it makes the numbers even a little sloppier. So at least you'll see the charting is not in time. Okay, her machine, her computer already did the calculation for meters per second. So it's already converted into meters per second, the numbers. So the going in cart is 0.62 meters per second. The leaving cart is 0.08. So you can understand that's way slower. That's less than an eighth of the speed going in. It's about an eighth. So a very substantial reduction in the speed of the car that bounced back, and you will be able to see the other number eventually, sooner or later. There we go. And so 49, which is a big number, right? So there's 2/3, you know, we got 2/3 going forward, but obviously it's 2/3 from two objects that have much closer masses. So it's not really 2/3 of the momentum. It's just 2/3 of the velocity, which in this case doesn't mean much. So it's, you know, I don't really know how to explain it, but obviously 200 and 300 are close to each other, are a lot closer than 1 to 3 or 1 to 2. So that difference means, okay, that this number should be higher because we're getting closer to two equal things hitting each other. All right. This was really great slow motion stuff, but we don't have the masses, and you know, you can do some inferring. All right, so, well, I should just play it because it takes a while. There's little tiny things on top of here that might have been put there to compensate for the fact that the springs only produce the same mass for each object. So obviously if this was a 100 gram cart and you added two of these springs and they were 10 grams each, let's say, well, then you'd have 120, but you're only adding 20 to the heavier cart, which is twice the mass, so it would be 220. So you're not really keeping the 50-50 proportion. So the logic would be you'd add more weight, but these little knobby things don't look like they have nearly enough weight to be as heavy as the springs. So that doesn't really work. So we really just don't know. I mean, I'd like to assume what it looks like is that this is a two-mass cart and this is a one-mass cart, but they didn't say that. The video's not is described as unequal masses. It doesn't describe it as, you know, proportionally half. So there's nothing, yeah, you know, you can't do much with it. What I'll say is it is curious because the one cart goes in, the two cart leaves just a tiny bit, okay, less than. I mean, more than half. So it's nowhere near 2/3, but it's actually a little more than half, which can't make much sense. But again, if the carts really aren't one mass, two mass, if that isn't what they are, then it's clearly acceptable that the other cart would leave at the higher velocity than half because you don't have the right mass ratio going in. So, but again, it completely doesn't confirm Professor Lewin in any way because the second cart clearly doesn't leave anything like 2/3 the velocity. Yeah, it's this beautiful video. But kind of useless because, again, the ruler isn't even close enough up, you know, and you really do have to kind of finagle with it to see exactly what notch it's on. Is it halfway in a notch? The notches are big. You can't really read the tape measure, so it's not very useful, you know. So as nice as it looks, it really isn't very useful. But the incredibly slow thing is nice. It's very precise, but not in other ways precise enough for you to use that precision. So this is just sort of a junk video, okay? So, you know, it really doesn't provide much. You know, we don't really know. The masses look very simple, so it doesn't look like anything's attached to them. So it really does look like it's a one against a two, but really no way of knowing anything. So not very useful. You can just go by a basic judgment call, you know, some vague ability to maybe do a couple of, you know, I can't do the frame. Yeah, there it goes. See, the frame rate's so far off that you could go 4 frames before it moves at all. There, 4 or 5 frames before it moved finally. So it's really not good enough video to do any real measuring. So anyway, threw it in, what the hell. All right, so that's probably enough. You know, somebody has some other video they think I need to account for, I'll include it. But, you know, that's the story so far. So, no evidence supporting the first Professor Lewin video. And again, I can diagram for you how I can make a perpetual energy machine so easily out of that diagram. So, I mean, and you're not going to be able to debunk it and explain why I can't do it because it's too simple. I mean, I just bang heavier. I just put a 1 mass into a 2 mass, and then a 2 mass into a 4 mass, and a 4 mass into an 8 mass, and 8 mass into a 16 mass. And then I just reverse it with a lever. I just have the 16 mass pushing on a lever. I put a light mass on the other end of the meat lever at a longer distance, and I shoot the light object back again. So I just shoot it into a 2, a 4, a 6, a 8, a 10, you know, go right around. Just keep going and going, and I can just siphon energy off of it, and I have free energy. Yeah. So anyway, just disappointing, okay, that, you know, that there's so few people willing to concede that there's something about what's going on that doesn't make any sense, and somebody besides me should start explaining why it does make sense, and there's nobody explaining. That's probably enough for this video. The Brozo, you know, who claimed he was going to do these experiments, you know, simple experiments, right? I mean, you know, let's just illustrate how simple these experiments are that we need done. And, you know, you can't get it done. It should work. Yeah, there it is. I mean, all we, you know, to solve one dispute is really simple. The one dispute is just, you know, if I compress a spring, you know, a standard amount, okay? So I compress two springs exactly the same amount, or the same spring. I just compress it a standard amount. I pull back an object into it exactly the same amount. Like I just tie a couple of strings to the air cart thing, you know, the air track cart, and I pull the string back, and I pull the cart into the spring, and I have a little notch in the string, and I tell exactly how far I pulled it back, so I pull it back exactly the same, and I take a 2-mass object and release it, and a 1-mass object and release it, okay? The simple truth is this one leaves at half the velocity of this one. This leaves with one velocity, this leaves whatever half that velocity. And it's a fact, and you're never going to undo it, and it's just silly that I have to even prove that. But yes, that's what's going to happen. All right, and then the other experiment again is just pushing these two carts, you know, a 1-mass cart into a 2-mass cart, and you can put a spring on it or no spring, it doesn't really matter. Just have this one bang into this one, elastically, and see what you get in terms of a velocity here, a velocity coming in, and a velocity coming back. And you know, these aren't hard experiments to do. So he's had an air track for 3 months. He made a video telling other people how to make their own air track. So apparently he thinks it works, yet he can't make it work in 3 months. He can't do these two simple experiments. Certainly can't do them and film them in some sort of rational way. I mean, he did film one of them, you know, at an angle like this. So you couldn't read the tape measure, couldn't see the cards, just totally useless. That's all we've gotten out of him. And he's just talking trash and continuing to talk trash, and yet he hasn't produced anything in terms of evidence. And he's got the air track. Again, why put up a video explaining how to make an air track that apparently doesn't work at all? I mean, it works so badly that he can't do this simple spring experiment. I mean, to me, it's all incredulous. I mean, he's a preposterous liar. You know, saying he proved anything or he demonstrated anything. No, come on. That's just, I mean, he's overtly deceiving people. I mean, he's working at deception. You know, it's not an accident. He's working at it. All right. So, till the next time, when maybe I'll read some of that crap commenting. He actually called Toadie a prick. because he dared to have a conversation with me, I guess. It's just so pathetic. Anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. I guess I can get rid of this and show the black screen. Yeah, why not? All right, anyway, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. This has been a DraftPhysics.com video presentation. To who and for what purpose? Just doesn't seem like there's any intelligent life on this planet. Sorry. Except for me. Yeah. No evidence that any of you other people are functioning right.